We give you glory. We give you honor. You are great, Lord Jesus. You are great, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you not only for what you've done, but for who you are. Lord, you are amazing. You have no beginning, you have no end. You are all powerful, all knowing. Lord, you can be anywhere all at the same time. There is no east and west to you, Lord, because you envelop everything. So we thank you. We thank you. We worship you. You are the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. You are worthy of our praise. You are worthy of our worship. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you that we're not alone, that you are with us all the time. And so, Lord, as we come here, we have offered these words, these songs, our heart of worship to you. Receive them, Lord Jesus. Let them ever be before you. And Lord, help us to always turn to you in different moments throughout the day and through all day long, just to worship you with simple words, with simple prayers, songs, as we acknowledge you and your presence and your power in our life. And so, Lord, this morning, even as we look into your word, may it come alive to us. May you reveal your truth. It would transform our life. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for speaking to us. May we hear your voice. May we listen. May we sense your love each moment of our day, whether things are going really well or really bad. May we not forget what your word says, because it is truth. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. You may be seated. If you're new to a church like this, where someone just a moment ago spoke out in a language you didn't understand, and then in English, we believe that's found in the Bible. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it talks about the gift of tongues and interpretation. We believe God is speaking to us through that way. And so if you have any questions from that, the word there is given the Bible says, to encourage or build up the believers. We heard about God's love for us, to turn to his word. and seek him and know that he's there no matter what you're going through. I think those are encouraging words. If you have any questions about that, the gift of tongues and interpretation and how that works, and you can contact me or talk to us, and we'd love to answer questions, give you more information to help you understand how God works in those ways. Let's turn our Bibles this morning to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 5. It was a few weeks ago that we had talked about the Broadway family being on a regenerate journey. It's probably been all at least pretty close to a couple years now. What that is a journey of spiritual renewal and rebirth as a church. Becoming more passionate and hungry for Jesus. Being more intentional in discovering and doing Jesus' will in our life as a church, but also as individuals. So the vision that we have at this time is growing deeper, reaching wider. So part of the growing deeper is working, what we're doing, we met just a little while ago, working on a discipleship path, a place where every one of us can join in somewhere and grow and expand in our knowledge, not just our knowledge, but our relationship and our obedience to Jesus. See, the Christian life is an adventure. It is full of opportunities to experience, to grow closer to become more like Jesus. The key word is opportunities. We can opt out of opportunities. One of the opportunities that Richard had was the Holy Spirit spoke to him about this person, and his opportunity was to listen to that and then seek that person out. It's part of our growth in listening to the Holy Spirit. Growing deeper means being pushed, stretched, challenged beyond where we are. Into new areas and to be into more mature areas. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though, by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. I don't know about you, but to me, that when I hear that, when I read that, that's challenging to me. Have I stopped trying to understand? I don't know about you when you read through the Bible, but there's still things in the Bible that I just don't get at first glance. I read that, oh yeah, I got that. There's certain things I read that and I go like, whoa, what is that really saying? Or what does that really mean? And I have to do study and I have to work and often I still call my dad. Or send him an email. Hey dad, what do you think of this? And what do you think of that thought? And hey, you know something? I've been looking for the scripture. I can't seem to find it. Do you know where it is? And it always does me good when he comes back and says, I can't find it either. He still remains human for me. But do we still try to understand? Or have we stopped? Or we're just letting somebody else explain it to us and we're not trying to do it on our own? See, there's an art to eating meat. First of all, you got the meat. Now, just guess what? I'm no cook. So I'm taking this from an expert, Chris, because she's a really good cook. But first you take the meat, then you put the right seasoning on it. And as you get the right seasoning on it, you turn up your barbecue or wherever you're cooking it to the right temperature. Then you take that piece of meat and you put it on the barbecue or whatever you're cooking it on for the right length of time. Now, Chris and I have a different opinion on the right length of time. He likes hers well done. I like mine medium rare. And you get it there for the right length of time, but when that's done, you take it off whatever you're cooking it on. Then you take it and then you cut it up into smaller pieces. And then from there, you take time to chew on it for a while. Somebody said when you've got a piece of meat or a steak or something like that, you're supposed to chew on it 24 times. I've watched some people eat. There's no way they're chewing 24 times on that piece of meat. This morning, for some, we may be serving you some meat. And if sometimes what we talk about this morning, the piece of meat that you get seems a little big, don't spit it out. I would encourage you to cut it into smaller pieces. Chew on it a little while. Take it home. Read it again. Think about it. Pray about it. Then take those little pieces and begin to get the nourishment out of it in your life and apply it to the way you live. So here we go. Psalms 119, verse 27. Cause me to understand the way of your precepts that I may meditate on your wonderful deeds. What does it mean, meditate? Now, the world has a definition of meditate, and it's something like, let's hum for a while, or we chant some kind of weird phrase or saying. Oh, we're supposed to empty ourselves, or maybe we're supposed to focus on ourselves. We're supposed to cross our legs in some weird way and sitting around looking at our belly button for hours. So that's the world's definition of meditating. Meditation, the Bible talks about, isn't about emptying ourselves. It's not about focusing on ourselves. What the Bible talks about is focusing on Jesus and filling ourselves with Him. It says, Psalms 48, verse 9, within your temple, O God, we meditate on your unfailing love. Looking at God and looking at His unfailing love for us. See, we're focusing on Him. Psalm 77, verse 11. I will remember your deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. Again, focusing on God, focusing on what He's done, focusing on all the miracles, even the miracles of long ago that God has done. See, meditating is a place where we draw closer to Jesus. We love Him more deeply, and we hear Him more clearly. A place where we get refreshed, we get renewed, we get restored. Now, what meditation requires is, it requires us to stop running around doing 50 things like we're a chicken with our head cut off. Now, I don't know if you even understand that term. My dad grew up on a farm, and when I went to visit my grandparents at a very young age, they still lived on the farm. And one time we went there for the summer, and my grandfather was killing chickens. And I was there when he chopped or lopped the head off a chicken, and it got loose, and it ran around without its head. And all over the directions and all over the barnyard trying to get this chicken to stop running. Are we in our lives running around like chickens with their heads cut off in so many different directions we don't know where we're going? Maybe you feel like this. The clock is my dictator. I shall not rest. It makes me lie down only when exhausted. It leads me into deep depression. It hounds my soul. It leads me in circles of frenzy for activity's sake. Even though I run frantically from task to task, I will never get it all done. For my ideal is with me. Deadlines and my need for approval, they drive me. When demand performance from me beyond the limits of my schedule, they anoint my head with migraines. My in-basket overflows. Surely fatigue and time pressure shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the bonds of frustration forever. Hopefully our life is not like that, but easily can be if we don't get a handle on it. See, meditation is the opposite of that. So how do we do it? How do we get off the treadmill of our lives, which seems to be going faster, faster, and faster? How do we slow down? Stop running all over the place and being distracted by so many things and focus on Jesus. Well, the first thing we can do is pray and ask Jesus for help. So why don't we do that? Lord Jesus, we come to you now. We recognize in our own human flesh that we get sucked into our culture so much and that we get distracted by way too many things. So, Lord, we ask you for your help. We ask you, Lord Jesus, for the desire to be able to meditate on you. In Jesus' name. So you're trying to meditate. You're trying to focus on Jesus and on God's word. Don't try to spend an hour doing that right away. You'll never make it. Start with 5 minutes or 10 minutes. I'm telling you, I'm working on this with my own life already, and I found the first 5 or 10 minutes really difficult, but it's getting easier to do this. So start with 5 or 10 minutes. So why don't we try this exercise even right now? So we're all sitting. What I'd like you to do as we're sitting is take your hands and just put them on your knees, right, like that. I would like you to just bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment. Now, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want just to take a moment to be silent before God, not even saying anything, not praying, not saying anything to Jesus, just to be quiet. Now, with your eyes closed, just take the palm of your hands and turn them down. What I want you to do, just quietly between you and Jesus, give to him anything that is worrying you, is a concern for you, you're struggling with. It could be your children. It could be a health issue. It could be something at work or at home. Just take that with your hands down and just say, I release it to you. Just tell him right now what it is. Now, still with your eyes closed, take your palms and turn them up. This is a time to receive from Jesus. So say to Jesus, if it's a health issue, I receive my health. If it's concern for your children, I receive protection and salvation for my children. If it was a worry about school, I receive your wisdom and help at school. Whatever it is, just say it to Jesus. once you said all those things that you are giving to Jesus, that you're mentioning to him, just wait a moment. Don't say anything. Okay, you can open your eyes. Now, this is a simple exercise we can do to slow our lives down. So often our life is busy that our time with Jesus becomes something else we do on our schedule. And so we're in a hurry, so we say, okay, I got 30 minutes. Okay, quickly, what do I got to do? Okay, I got to pray real quick, and then I got to read my Bible real quick, and then I got to do this real quick. And we don't ever slow down. It's a time where we can just kind of start with just giving that stuff away. Giving it to Jesus. Often, maybe we give our request to Jesus, but yet we're still carrying ourselves. Jesus, can you help me with? There's a difference between giving it to Jesus and asking Jesus for help with it. Because help with it means I'm doing this work and you can just give me a little extra help and I'll get it done. That's not what we're to do. We're supposed to give it over to Jesus. And then receive. In faith, we say to Jesus, we receive from you what you're going to give. Believing he's going to be the answer and we're not the answer. So when you're done all that, don't ask Jesus for anything else. Sit there quietly listening to him, just receiving from him. And don't get stressed out if you didn't get an answer when you did that. You're saying you got a decision to make it work and you're really worried about that. And after that, you gave it to Jesus, you released it to him, you received the answer. And then you waited for a few minutes just quietly. Don't get stressed out if you didn't get the answer at that moment. That is not the point. The point is just giving and releasing it to Jesus. That's all we're supposed to be doing. Just give it to Jesus and release it to Jesus. We're not trying to do anything else. It says in Psalms 143:5, I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done. Psalms 119, verse 15 says, I meditate on your precepts and I consider your ways. Meditation on God's word is where we take it and we bring it inside. We personalize it. What's it saying? We let it take word or root in our hearts. See, it's when we meditate on God's word, it's more than just reading a parable and saying that was an interesting story. It's reading it and it's seeing it as if we were actually there at that moment. Have you ever done that? I'm part of the story. It's unfolding there and I see what's happening. I see what's going on. It says in Matthew chapter 8, verse 14. When Jesus came to Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her. She got up and began to wait on him. So let's take that scripture and let's just meditate that on for a minute. So, imagine you are sick with a fever, and some people that may not be really hard because you've been sick with a fever this week. So imagine you're sick with a fever. Put yourself in that place. Jesus and some of the disciples show up to your house. All the women right now are stressed out. because the house isn't clean, because you've been sick. And you got no food prepared because you've been sick. Imagine how you're feeling at that moment. The last thing you want, I don't know what you're like when you're sick, but the last thing I really want is a bunch of people in my house. I just want to rest and get better. Then think about it. You're sick with a fever. So bad you're in bed, you can't even get out of bed. Jesus walks over to you, touches you, and it's all gone. You feel great, and you get up and you start preparing food. That's what meditating on God's word's about. It's about allowing that word to come alive to you. Not treating it as if you're a bystander looking on the outside, that you're watching the story unfold, but treating it like you're a participant. You're literally in the story. You are one of the characters in the stories. And as it's playing out and you're seeing it happen, and you're going on, and maybe you're the story of Thomas who was at when Jesus appeared to the disciples, and Jesus says, "Here's my hands and here's my side. Go ahead and touch them." Imagine if you're sitting there in that room and Jesus comes to you and says, "Here's the hole in my hand. Stick your finger in it." What would you be feeling? What would you be thinking at that moment of time? Put yourself there. Don't be in a hurry just to read over that story. Stop there. Wait there for a minute. Maybe you're going to hover over one word. Maybe you're just simmering over a phrase that is there and letting that soak into your heart and letting that soak into your mind. It's about slowly and methodically just reading over what is there. It's not a race. You don't have to be in a hurry. It's not about how much you have read. Now, there's sometimes, I think it's good that when some people have got this thing where they read through the Bible in a year, hey, I think that's a good thing. But that is not meditating. That's not meditating on God's word. It's where you get on God's word and you reflect on it when you're reading it. You're just taking time to figure out what that means, what it's saying, and what it means to us. What is it saying to us? Because this is what God's word is. It's not a book written for everybody. It's a book written for me. It's a book written for you. This is not some general manual that anybody grabs and they pick it up trying to fix something. No, it is something written specifically to you. If you were the only person on the earth, God would have still had the book written so that you could read it. And he wants you to understand it and to let it soak into your heart and into your mind. Now, again, you know, if you, after done your reading and meditating God's word, if you don't get some warm, fuzzy feeling or some great revelation, don't stress out about that. It's not about that. It's about spending time in God's word and letting God's word get into you. See, it's not about Googling commentaries and tearing apart the scripture to understand it. It's not about that stuff. Those things are good, but that's what not meditating on God's word is about. See, scriptural meditation is beyond hearing or reading or studying or even memorizing God's word. Those things are all good and should be part of our life, but it's beyond that. See, what it is it's like soaking in God's word. Meditating on God's word is like taking a tea bag. And the longer you let it soak, the more you get out of it. You let it steep. That's what it is about God's word. It's about allowing God's word to steep in our heart, letting it soak for a while in our hearts, and so it penetrates, it saturates, it gets inside of our heart, and it soaks in there so we can get as the most we can out of it. Now, I don't know about you. You pour a little bit of water over a tea and you drink it. It's not tasting really good. Pretty weak. So if you're just reading quickly over God's word and you're going, you're going to get some, but it's going to be pretty weak. But when you meditate on God's word and you let it soak into your heart, you get the real flavor and you get the real touch when you let it soak in your life. It says in Psalms 119, verse 48, "My eyes stay upon or open through the watches of the night, that I may meditate on your promises." Where are the promises of God found? In God's word. I believe we'll be amazed at the height, the depth, the width of our growth in Jesus that we will see in our lives when we meditate on God and his word. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you challenge us. That you take us beyond where we are and not just to stay here, but to go to that new place, that next level, something that we haven't done before, Lord. So I pray as we talk this morning, even about meditating on you, quietly releasing things to you and then receiving from you and just quietly listening to you. As we look into your word and we let it soak into our hearts and lives. Lord Jesus, continue to draw us closer to you. Stretch us, grow us, make us more like you. Just with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you're here this morning, and you've heard me talk about meditating on God and his word and getting closer to Jesus, you don't really understand it because you have never begun a relationship with Jesus. And this morning you'd like to do that. I would love you to leave you in a prayer between you and God to accept Jesus into your life. Just say that quietly after me. Lord Jesus, I'm here now. And I recognize I need you. I want you. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Help me to live for you forever. Your head's bowed and eyes closed. If you said that prayer, I would encourage you that you've made the biggest decision you ever make in your life. It's great. And from that, you're likely going to have lots of questions and things you want to know and understand. And to help you on that journey, we have a Bible with some information in it we'd love to give to you. So if you said that prayer, if you just quickly raise your hand, we can make sure you get that Bible with that information. We just want to help you on your new journey. Yes, thank you. Is there anyone else? Now, if you said that prayer, but didn't raise your hand, you can still get that information at the guest services table. And I would love to talk to you about that commitment you've just made. Lord Jesus, I thank you for each person that is here. For all those who said that prayer, Lord, that you would draw them by your Holy Spirit closer to you. Help them understand how it is to get closer to you and to meditate and to follow after you. Lord, they find good friends that would help them. That was teach them your ways. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This morning, I